This episode is brought to you by Rockstar Energy Drink. Be honest, are you procrastinating by listening to this podcast? It's okay. You just need Rockstar Focus. Choose from three delicious flavors, each crafted with ingredients for an ideal energy and mental boost, like Lion's Mane, 200 milligrams of caffeine, and zero sugar. Visit rockstarenergy.com to learn more. At least 75 milligrams of caffeine has been shown to help improve attention.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hi, it's Lee Salisbury here. Welcome to Soap from the Box, the TV behind-the-scenes podcast, where I speak to some of the biggest stars from some of the biggest shows. Catherine Dow Blyton was my guest on Tuesday from Emmerdale. Make sure you listen to that. But it's Friday. It's time for a bonus episode. The Traitors, the UK version, hit our screens in November 2022 and has become one of television's greatest hits after only two series. It's already won two BAFTAs, two RTS Awards, a National Television Award, and even an award at the Edinburgh Festival. And helping to secure its place in our hearts was one of the original traitors from the first series, who for so long easily pulled the wool over everyone's eyes until she was basically ousted by another traitor. How has it changed her life? Let's find out. It changed my life watching it. It's a pleasure to welcome Amanda Lovett. Hello, Amanda.
Hello. Hi. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Now, I have to admit, because I'm late to the party, so I'm one of those people that when something becomes big, I'm always a bit like, I was the same with Friends, like, oh, I'm going to give it a... Then I've become addicted to it recently. I mean, how is it? It must have, first of all, I mean, did it take you by surprise, the popularity of it?
Yes. I mean, that was, I think, one of my worries as an estate agent for so many years was... You know, and I was picked a traitor, which I wanted to be. So I was so grateful that Claudia actually knighted me a traitor. But I was thinking, how are the British public going to embrace this? You know, because it is cloak and daggers and yes, lying and deceit. And is it going to be welcomed or not into everybody's homes? I don't think any of us could foresee, you know, the popularity of it. It's been tremendous.
Yeah. So, I mean, the facts are, you, in the end, you came at 8th out of 22 and you lasted 10 episodes, which is pretty incredible. But I mean, what made you apply? I've read that you kind of always love reality TV, and quite rightly, actually, a lot of reality TV is just kind of for the very young media influencers type of people. Is that kind of why this kind of grabbed you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've had five children, so especially having three girls, reality TV, like the Love Islands, have been in my lounge for the last 20 years, you know,
and yeah,
I've always been fascinated by the concept, can you form a relationship that quickly as well with people, friendships, love, etc.
Yes.
But of course, a lot of the reality TV is geared for the younger generation. So I, when I seen this come up on one of my, I was only on Facebook then, so it was on my social platform, and I thought, oh, I'm going to try for this. So when I applied for it, obviously then you've got to go through different stages, and they said you'd have to go away and possibly be there for a number of weeks on your own, and that was appealing to me as well, because, you know, five children, six grandchildren. I thought I haven't sat on my own in a bedroom for 30 years, really, you know, without having someone phoning me or asking me something. So, yeah, it was a mixture of both. But it did. I love the concept in a castle, and, you know, the cloak and dagger thing. I love that.
And when you said that, actually, that intrigued you in reality TV, you know, is it real that people make friends that quickly? I mean, I'm one of those people, not having done it, that still think that. I mean, is it genuine that it is actually quite quick to make those friendships and bonds?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we went on a journey together, and a lot of us are still friends. It's a strange concept, because, you know, I was 54 going on, so I was quite worldly, and I thought there's no way you can sort of bond that quickly with people. But when your outside world is taken away from you, they become your family and friends, and you invest your trust into these people. So yeah, you do get to know each other very quickly.
I think that's what people forget at home, is that, you know, it's not like you're going home in the evening and spending time with then your loved family. You actually are on your own. So there's no one to call and have a chat. The only people to talk about what's going on are the people you're with.
Yes, yeah, that becomes your world. You know, that is your world. You know, you imagine people who work 9 to 5 every day, they spend more time with their work colleagues probably than they do, you know, so they have their work family. Well, all of a sudden, these strangers become your family for however long you're in there. You talk to them, you form friendships, and yeah, it really does happen, which surprised me, you know, that element did surprise me how quickly you can bond with people.
And how long was the process from when you first applied to you hearing? I mean, when did you hear that you got in it? And did you have any second of going? I mean, because I suppose a lot of people apply for these things thinking it's like when you apply for competitions, thinking, you know, oh, well, I'll give it a go, and you never expect to get it. Was it a complete shock when you actually, they said, right, you're going in, you're going to the castle?
Yeah, it was. I mean, every interview stage that I sort of passed, I was thinking to myself, oh, my gosh, this looks like, you know, it's going well. And then when I had the final interview with the execs, and they said, you know, we really like you, and right, okay, we'd like you to join us. I was excited. I mean, my older children, I will be honest, they didn't want me to go on it because they said, Mum, we've watched a lot of reality TV. You don't know how it'll be edited, how you'll be perceived, etc. And I just said, listen, I'm 54. I've never done anything like this. I probably won't do anything like this ever again. So I'm just going for it. And I said, you know, I'm a big girl. I can take it on the chin how people think of me.
What an experience. You can't give up on that. And what was it like when you first arrived at the castle? I mean, what a gorgeous place. I have heard an insider told me that the upstairs isn't quite as nice as the downstairs, apparently, because the people still live there. But what was it? I mean, it looked incredible. It must have been, not only you're on a reality show, but you're basically in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, it's what, well, the driveway down, you know, when we've seen that and then turning up to that castle and knowing this is sort of going to be our sort of home for the next however long we're in there. But yeah, it was just, honestly, it was like being in a lovely dream, you know. It's sort of like being in a pantomime, honestly. It was, because you turn up and it's all, you've got this lovely, you know, facade going on, you've got the castle, the grounds, and then of course you're backstabbing and killing and murdering, and so it was, it was great.
Well,
it was,
it's like fun. I mean, we all love playing, I love playing games, you know, escape rooms, murder, we had a murder mystery party for my birthday. It's like you're being, it's that on a large scale. I think we've all got a kid inside ourselves, haven't we? And it's allowing that kid to come back, I suppose, for a while.
Absolutely. And I mean, for the traitors, it's almost, you know, you're given the authority to go out and be really naughty and mischievous and, you know, set a cat amongst the pigeons. And, you know, you're given the authority to do all those naughty things we've got inside of us.
And what you said when Claudia did, when you did get that tap on the shoulder, that bit, I love that bit in the show. It's so tense. She obviously walks around quite a few times because you can hear her footsteps. Did you have a kind of feeling that you might be chosen, or was it a complete shock when you got the tap?
Complete shock. I mean, I asked to be a traitor. I think most people that go in there would want to be traitors. Yeah. But because she'd sort of walked around the table a few times, and I was last to be tapped on the shoulder, I thought, oh, okay, well, you know, I haven't got it, but I'll have to just be a really good faithful. And then she touched me on the shoulder, and I was delighted. Yeah, I was really excited. Yeah.
And you all did amazingly. Not, because then you obviously go into game mode and you can't even show that you're excited. Obviously, it was soon found out that Alicia and Wilfred were your other traitors at first to get in your team. Yeah. How was that? Were you kind of quite, because I suppose how much time had you spent with everyone at that point when you went in? Had you got to know anybody? Had you got to know people, or was it quite instant when you started?
You start talking to people as soon as you meet them on the train, or, you know, and when you're in the castle, you sort of form your little groups. So we'd spend sort of the whole day together, you know, looking at each other, observing. And it is strange because you know you're a traitor and you're looking at others and you're thinking, who are the others? You know, is there another one? Is there another two? However, so when you see each other in the night, it, you know, and you are unveiled to see each other, it's quite funny because you've had conversations with these people all day and you think to yourself, oh my God, you're really good. I would never have guessed you were a traitor. So it's quite funny.
Yeah, and I mean, I mean, you were my favourite out of all. I mean, Wilfred was obviously amazing as well, but you, I think someone was so, you were so unsuspecting of it. And I mean, from working in television, what I want to ask is, they must have been extra long days for you traitors, because obviously, I mean, you all got, I'm guessing, because I know that you all didn't stay in the castle, you're all in, was everyone in the same hotel? Were you dotted around up there?
No, but in the same lodgings. That's what I can say, the same lodgings, but right, you don't know who is in, on what room, on what floor.
Ah, right. Okay, so it's very cloak and dagger. God, it's a massive effort from the production team, isn't it?
Honestly, I mean, it is like running a military expedition, you know. Yeah. You've got security on the floor, so...
Because you're not, you obviously can't go back and have a sneaky drink, because otherwise people might know who's gone back.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there was one time I remember that everybody was saying, right, these traitors are obviously coming back later in the night. So I think there was a group of us, about 6 or 7, and I said, oh, do you think so? Yes, absolutely. I think we need someone to look out the front, who's on the front of the lodgings, to have a look who's coming back. And I turned around and I said, well, I'm in the front, so I can have a look.
Oh, right. Okay.
And they said, do you mind staying up late? I said, not at all. Well, the following, obviously, I was a traitor, wasn't I? So the following day, they said to me, did you see anything? I said, no, didn't see anything. They must be coming around the back way or something.
Oh, that was lucky that you were there. But yeah, what a military operation. But I mean, you're, by the end of the challenges, where you're all grouping together to win, you know, win the share of the money, then they go, and then you go, I'm taking it, you do actually go and come back. So you must have been there till very late every night when you're a traitor.
Yeah. I mean, you are. You're just sort of, I think, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
Yeah. I think they filmed it a bit earlier this time because they wanted it to go. We filmed it in May, so the evenings were quite late as well. And obviously, you've got to get the darkness, the effect. So they did film it later this year. But I think the round, you know, the final table with Jazz, because I was with Jazz a couple of weeks ago, and Harry and Molly, that was filmed about 3 o'clock in the morning, I think, or 4 o'clock in the morning.
Wow, that's incredible. Yeah. Isn't it? And then you've got to go back, try to sleep, and also then kind of look as well, not that I suppose everyone wasn't sleeping because they were all worried, but you try to look fresh in the morning.
yeah, you've got to look, you know, as though I always loved the breakfast part, because to me that was, I knew I was going there, so I could chill out, and you know,
yeah, like, you
I
could actually get some kick.
To me that was like, I thought, well, I can actually relax, because I know who's coming in, and you know, I know I prepared myself to act surprised. And yeah, so to me, that was the best part of the day, the free breakfast, which is great.
I think that's what people love watching, as well as all the games going on, is watching the traitors' reactions, isn't it? And how they are actually acting. It's quite incredible.
It is. Well, absolutely. When I mean, because we were the first, you know, obviously to do it. So I always thought to myself, why are they showing the public, the traitors, you know, why aren't the public trying to get, but that is the story of watching how they act and the story unfold in front of you, really, then, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you want things to scream at the screen out, and that's what it is, isn't it? You're going, how could it? Because you three did amazingly. I can't remember, it was a lot of, you know, there was a lot of people murdered before any of you started to get suspicions on you. You must have had a real kind of sense of achievement, you three, because you were literally, you know, that you had three against, you know, 19 others who were just not getting it at all.
Yeah, they weren't. I mean, we were sort of totally in control of it. And it sort of started to flip then when, you know, it was between Alyssa and Wilf, and then Wilf obviously done that to Alyssa, and I had to do the casting vote. But she was starting to, Alyssa, she was younger, and it is hard, you know, because you think it's intense.
The toll on your emotions.
Yeah, and you're watching every little thing you say. And I know then, because they weren't getting a traitor, they were interrogating everybody. And I think she found it, you know, because it is, I mean, it's like being, when you're on that round table and everybody mentions your name, the only way I can describe it, it's like being, I feel like you're sitting at the back of the classroom and all your classmates sort of turn around and accuse you.
Yes, yeah.
You know, and that's how you feel. It is really intimidating.
Yeah, yeah, no, it, I mean, yeah, because and just trying to justify it, and then you go into overdrive because you know you're being watched. But I mean, I think there were certain points in the whole series for me, and I think one of the nights where that looked like you found it the hardest was when you had the really nice meal. It was very close to the end, actually, when Andrea stood up and gave a really emotional speech,
yeah.
And that seemed to really kind of like resonate with you, and that seemed like a hard evening for you.
It was. I think then after that, I knew that Wilf, I knew sort of Wilf was going to throw me under the bus. I said it a lot in my memes and things.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think, you know, that's the name of the game, you know. And when I seen Theo, I mean, Aaron was always, they were all my 100%
yes,
faithful.
Yeah.
But when
Theo, you and Aaron had a lovely relationship.
Oh, yeah, lovely. And I mean, Theo was finding it really difficult. And that evening he'd come out about his dad and things. And Andrea had said a lovely speech. And I did sort of, I think when I went, it was my time to go. Because I'd enjoyed it. It had been fun. And that's what I wanted it to be. And then it started becoming difficult, you know,
becoming personal, you went at the right time. And I mean, like you said, Wilf did throw you under the bus, but I mean, again, all fairness to him, he was playing the game. And actually, obviously, and this is full of spoilers for everyone, I'm going to put this on the thing, so if you're listening to this and haven't watched it, then you're too late to the game. But what I loved is that he then kind of got thrown under the bus by Kieran, who he brought in. That must have been quite nice for you to see that as well.
Yeah, it was. I mean, you know, I love Wilf. I love Keith. We all get on. But just for me to see him sort of it being thrown back on him. And I suppose there is a lesson in there. You know, you can't always keep throwing everybody under the bus right till the end, you know.
No, you'll find you'll get figured out in the end.
Yeah, you will get figured out in the end. So, it was real. It was really good fun. And what I loved about our series is that, you know, I think there was only one recruitment at the end, which was Kieran. I mean, this series was fabulous, but there was, I hope next series they don't recruit as many traitors.
Yeah,
as they
well,
did.
I think I love what I love, and I've watched the second series, and a lot of my friends had actually not watched the first series because they knew the result. So I watched, came fresh, didn't know, hadn't seen spoilers, so watched it as they were loving the second series, and then we kind of swapped. And actually, what I love about the first is because it's the first series, and you guys. It's always different, I think, when the people in there, you know, have no idea what's going to happen. Do you know what I mean? Otherwise, I think other series to come, everyone knows what it is and knows what happens
the
afterwards.
Game.
And I just think it's nice, isn't it, when you're all fresh and you just sense that real, real emotion and real gameplay because you don't know what you're doing, basically, everyone.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't, you know, we'd watched, they'd given us... I think one that had been filmed in the Netherlands to watch, but of course that was slightly different to what we were doing. So we all went in there with, you know, some people had game plans. I didn't have a game plan. As you said, we just went with the flow really because we didn't know what we were doing.
And did you all, is it like I'm a Celebrity when you go, do you kind of stay around or are you shipped off home?
Go straight away. You don't see. I mean, the day I left, I didn't see anyone until we met up just before the previewing of
Oh, wow.
Just before it aired.
Oh,
you go straight away. Yeah.
Well, that's it. So it's not like I'm in Sled where you get holed up in the gorgeous Versace hotel or whatever.
Oh, no. You're sort of back to your lodgings and then flight booked.
Flight booked
home.
And off you go. I mean, you must have obviously watched the series. And then, I mean, the end for me was one of the best things I've ever seen when Wilf, obviously Kieran kind of gave a clue and Hannah, Claudia was in tears. It was incredible, wasn't it? I mean, I can't believe, the producers must have been rubbing their hands with glee because you couldn't have planned it any better, could you? But were you pleased to see, because Aaron went through a hard time being kind of always thought as one of the traitors for a long time. To see him, who you obviously got on well, you must have been thrilled to see him kind of win part of the money as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because he wanted to, you know, give some to his mum. And, you know, the day when I'd voted for Theo to go out, most of the table were going for Aaron or Theo. That was sort of just... And That's why I went for Theo that night, because I couldn't vote for Aaron because he'd been through so much. You know, he had so much grilling all the time. And I mean, when he had that anxiety attack, that was a real anxiety attack.
Oh, yes.
You know, I was sitting next to him. So for him and Hannah as well, I mean, it's taken Hannah's career to a different level. It's allowed her to do a comedy. You know, it was just deserves, I think, that the guys who won it, because it was hard for Hannah in the end. To her and Wilford, a very, very good close relationship, you know, friendship, and she, you know, she played the game. She turned on him in the end, you know. So
it really couldn't have ended better. Now, you've obviously got lots of now fans yourself. Now, I've got, this is someone who I'm friends with, who's also been on the podcast. I'm hoping you can hear this. I'll play it up to my phone. And this is someone who wanted to ask you a question. One of your famous fans, Amanda. Here we go.
Hi, this is Dani Minogue. I have a question for Amanda. I am just wondering, what is the most bizarre thing that has happened to you since Traitors?
There we go. That's Miss Dani Minogue, who loved you in The Traitors, by the way. So she wanted to ask a question. So what's the most bizarre thing that's happened to you since being in The Traitors?
Most bizarre thing?
I suppose she means, have you had any mad kind of, I don't know, offers of work, or where's it taken you?
Well, I've had lots of offers of work, but someone asked me, and this is quite strange, someone asked me on an interview, what's the most fabulous thing that's happened to you since The Traitors? And I said, actually, meeting Dani Minogue and waking up to her following me on Instagram.
Oh, brilliant. How funny. That's brilliant. So when did you meet Dani?
I met Dani in I Kissed a Boy premiere, and she was telling me that her grandfather was Welsh.
Ah, right, okay.
Yeah, so we had a bit of a chat, and then I woke up the following morning and she'd actually followed me on Instagram, and I was like, oh my God, you know, Dani Minogue is following me on Instagram. So Dani, if you're listening, that's the most fantastic, bizarre thing that's happened to me.
Fantastic. That ends it in a nice round circle. Well, she'll obviously listen, and I'll tell her after this what you said. That's brilliant. Yeah. That's so funny. Yeah. And then what was fun, we actually, obviously, as we know, with social media, the keyboard warriors can be quite harsh. Were you quite nervous to see what that, because as we know, anyone that goes on television or does anything will be, you know, is going to face some backlash as well, just because it's the nature of the world now. But were you quite scared of what people were going to say?
I was, in a way. I mean, I've been quite lucky because, you know, the nation sort of embraced me, which was fantastic. But one of my agents actually put me on GB News the day I was going to DragCon. Now, I'd never heard of GB News.
Right.
So, and there's nothing wrong with GB News.
No.
She put me with a reverend. I think he's been dismissed since, hasn't he? Who didn't
believe
in. Yeah, so I actually have a photograph with him, not realising who he is. And then I'm in DragCon in the afternoon, so of course I get some backlash then. And I just replied to it as honestly I could. But I've been lucky, but I have seen, to be honest, I came off Twitter because...
Oh, yeah, it's a nasty place. I'm a web, Soap in the Box doesn't go on X either. I think it opens up too many keyboard warriors that need to shut up.
It does, yeah, it does. And, you know, and some people were saying things then. And I remember sitting up in, you know, 4:30 in the morning thinking, these people think this of me and this isn't me at all. And then my twins then at the time said, Mum, you're coming off Twitter, that's it. And I did, and I've never looked since, because I can only imagine one little bit of it, how it must be for people that get trolled. It must be awful, you know.
Horrendous.
It must be terrible. And these people are actually, as you say, keyboard warriors, should
and
realize
they don't
what
mean
they're
anything.
Actually doing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we last week's guest on here was Luca Tulin, who's playing the bully in Coronation Street at the moment, Mason, which obviously Corrie are doing that really important storyline, because as what resonated with me is obviously when we were younger, and we might have, I mean, luckily I was never bullied. I wouldn't say I was ever bullied, probably got called a few names and stuff. But it was, you know, at school, you go home. To nowadays, you know, if you do something embarrassing at school, people film it on their phone and then it's on TikTok. I mean, they have it so hard now, the younger generation. It's just unfair, isn't it? And then for this multitude of people around the world who you don't know, who you don't care what they think of you, but they have a voice, which is not good.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm trying to think of Adele's line. What does she say in a song? Why do I...
I know.
Some people I don't even know.
Yeah, yeah.
Why do I want...
You almost, well, we always say, don't we? Yeah. If you had a 100 good comments and 2 bad comments, the 2 bad comments are the ones that would stay with you for the rest of the day.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, people in the world should just be nice to each other. There's nothing, you know, and if you can't be nice, just don't say anything.
And I think that's, I mean, I don't think, I haven't seen hardly a bad reaction to the traitors at all, because obviously, even being a traitor, you're all in there for the game, which everyone keeps reminding each other about as well. But also, you've all come out really good friends, because you were all in there playing the game together, basically, weren't you?
Yeah, we were all playing. I think, you know, I think Wilfred suffered a bit after he'd done that to me. And I remember him putting a t-shirt on, it's only a game. And it is a game. And this is what people need to realize: anything on TV, you know, is more or less, it can be produced. I mean, it's very, The Traitors isn't produced much, it just flows, you know, they get a good cast and it flows.
Yeah, but reality but, you know, TV, like, for instance, normally is produced. Yes, the only way is Essex, you know, what really happens.
Exactly, it's not really what happens. And that's what, you know, so leave people alone. Just leave people. It makes me very angry. These people are turning the world into an ugly place, and they should.
No,
just
and I loved, really I loved you really championed the older, not saying you're an old woman at all, Amanda, but older for TV that's used to 20-somethings being on. And you really championed your age group as well, which I think is fabulous. And I'm sure you've got a lot of support from other women your age.
Yeah, well, I did. And that was another reason why I think it was important, because I think middle-aged women, we do go under the radar a lot.
Yeah,
you know,
totally,
Yeah, our children sort of look at us to think, you know, oh, mum never sort of lived her life like that. She didn't do anything like that. And, you know, people don't realise we've got such life experiences that we could give good advice. And, you know, but we're just boxed up as to say, oh, they're in their little workplace now. They've achieved where they want to be in their career. They've made their little nest, their home. They've had their children. They're quite settled. Where really, we're on the starting line.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I mean, brilliant. And what was your family's reaction? I mean, were your kids a bit like, wow, mum, you lie well?
Yeah, they were. We were. Well, I was surprised how good I lied.
It was more your poker face. Your poker face was just like, I do think you were, until obviously things unraveled a little bit, you were like the one that no one would have even dared whisper that it was you. You know, literally, I mean, Wilfred from the beginning had a few rumblings. You had nothing. I mean, I think it was the poker face. I mean, you literally were the person you wanted to cuddle, rather. You'd be like, no way. So they must be a little bit like, okay, do I believe you when you say there's no chocolate in the fridge, mum?
Honestly, yeah, they were like, gosh, mum, you can really lie, can't you? And I said, I know. And I was looking when the red breakfast happened, and, you know, I got up and I done my Bryn from Nessa's thing, banging the table and saying, we're all arguing, we're never going to find them. And I thought, God, you know, where did that come from? But I was really into playing the part, I think.
I'm sure you're going to be offered some acting roles, Amanda. you might be back on here for being a soap star soon. But let's go on to, because you've got a brand new show that you're in, which launches around the same time as you're listening to this, everyone. 17th of March it drops on the BBC, and this is called Pilgrimage, that you filmed last year. So we've had two, that it's been a fabulous show where it's a group of celebrities from different faiths assembled together on a historical pilgrimage. It started in 2018 with The Road to Santiago, which I actually filmed for the BBC Holiday Programme. Amazing. There was the Road to Rome, the Road to Istanbul, the Road to the Scottish Isles, the Road to Portugal. And this series, starting 17th of March, the Road to Wales, of course, which you are part of. Must have been gorgeous to do this.
It was absolutely lovely. It was my pleasure because, you know, everybody thinks, because I'm South Wales, that I've necessarily been to North Wales, and I never have, because obviously North of England. Yeah, so I've never been up to North Wales. So I'm very proud of our countryside and coastline in South Wales, but it equally matches up in North Wales. It was just beautiful. I met a fantastic group of people. You've got some really great.
I mean, you've got one of my favourite actors in there, who I've been binge watching on Friday Night Dinner. Tom Rosenthal. Rosenthal? Oh, is he lovely?
Yeah. Oh, he's absolutely. Honestly, they were all absolutely lovely. He is. Again, I think I was sort of like the mum sort of role, because a lot of them were younger than me.
You've got Michaela Strachan, who we've always loved from her world, Spencer Matthews, to name just a few. And how long were you all together for this?
We were together 15 days.
Oh, wow. So a long time. Again, you know, so a long time to be thrown in with strangers, really. And what was it like, I suppose, being now you're classed as a celebrity? That must be quite strange as well.
Sorry, I missed you then.
Sorry. It must be quite strange that you're... Can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Oh, it must be quite strange now as well that you're classed as... You know, you are a celebrity. You're being asked to do celebrity programmes. Is that quite bizarre in your head?
Well, do you know, it was when I was asked to do it, I thought, oh gosh, you know, because people have said, oh, you're really well known and everything like that. Now it sort of dawned on me then, well, oh yeah, well, I must be sort of really appreciated around the world a bit, because they're asking me to, to do that. So, and it was lovely. And of course, being embraced, because I went on it because I'm Catholic, and then being embraced by the LGBTQ plus community coming out of Traitors, I'd never had much involvement with that because, you know, all my children have been heterosexual so far. Yeah. And so I'd never only worked, but sort of becoming an ally, I've really embraced that and seen the most beautiful relationships with people and, you know, fantastic, and listened to many, many stories of courage about people coming out. And then, of course, I wanted to, being a Catholic, I've never questioned my faith.
Yes, yeah.
So I went on there and I spoke to a nun, and I thought, well, you know, I was saying, well, why doesn't God bless this? Because surely it's about love and respect between humans. Not that it has to be a male and female and everything. And it was lovely. And of course, after it now, Pope Francis has come out and blessed it. So whoever he is above must have heard my call.
I know, he must have heard you. Yeah, amazing.
He must have heard me, yes.
And it's the kind of show that, I mean, that we need, because actually, what a lovely idea that, you know, bringing these people to, and not necessarily that because they're celebrities, but of different faiths, on a road trip together. Some, you know, a historical road trip itself, which is significant, but then also a chance for you all to talk faith, which again isn't something really done on television. So it's great that a kind of entertainment program is kind of embracing that and getting people to talk, and again, people at home hopefully to kind of question their own misunderstandings or things they haven't dared talk about.
Yeah, because I'd never heard of Jainism being Jain, and Sonali is a Jain, and she was telling me, and I was terrible for, I've got a real thing up with spiders, so I never used to kill them, but I used to hoover them up. And it's awful to say now, because I used to think, right, if they go up the hoover, it's not me sort of killing them,
to God,
if they
it.
Get
yeah.
to the suction bag or not.
Yeah.
And I mean, she was telling me how, in her belief, that, you know, they, all these little insects, souls that come back. So that's why they don't sort of stamp on them and kill them and things like that. And ever since, I have not hoovered a spider up. I put them outside now because I think, well, you might be my family or someone else's family, so I'm going to put you outside.
Yeah, great. Yeah. So everyone can rest safe now if you're a spider.
Everyone, yes. Amanda. All the spiders are welcome. Yeah. I just put them at the door now, yeah. But it was lovely to talk.
Yeah. Yeah. And to see Wales at the same time. I mean, I was going to say, were you a bit disappointed that you didn't get to go to Rome or something? But I mean, I've been to Wales and it's absolutely beautiful. It must have been lovely. Like you said, I think, again, I know so many of my friends who live in the UK and who, you know, who are born here, who haven't travelled. I mean, luckily, me and my husband have been really good, and we've travelled so many places in the UK because there's some beautiful places to see that you just don't know are right on your doorstep almost.
Yeah, I think, and that's one thing that I have been lucky after the Traitors. I've travelled a lot, meeting and greeting, and done lots of prides and different things. And I've never been to half of these cities or coastlines. And we really have got a spectacular country, haven't we? You know, and
amazing.
We should embrace it more. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I love that you've been invited to all the prides as well. That's brilliant. Yeah. What a party the prides are.
Oh, honestly, fantastic. I actually done a lip sync in Bristol Pride.
Oh, amazing.
Great. Yeah.
You're bound to come across Danny again, because Danny's always doing all the prides, obviously. So I'm sure you'll come across her again. Well, listen, we will end with the game of either or that we always play with everyone. So it's just one or the other. So easy. Well, faithful or traitor? Which would you choose to be again?
Oh, traitor. Absolutely. Who wouldn't want to be the king or queen on the chessboard? You've got to be a traitor, yeah.
Tea or coffee?
Wine.
Why? I'm with you there. That's a first. Sprouts or cabbage? I mean, that's an awful one.
Oh, sprouts.
Sprouts, okay. Wilfred or Aaron? Oof.
Aaron, my baby, Aaron.
What's he up to? I see him on Instagram, by the way, and is he in China or something? Traveling
Yeah, he's
China?
working. Yeah, I message him at least twice a month. He's on a yacht at the moment. He's working on a yacht, so he's
Oh,
in China at the
amazing.
moment. Yeah,
Amazing.
amazing. Yeah, he's living life.
Flats or hills?
Flats or heels? Heels.
Yeah, all the way, especially if you're a
All the
pride.
way, sparkly ones.
Yeah, Kylie
Oh, can I do both? I think Kylie mind.
Yeah,
I think, yeah,
I'd
she's
probably
got
say
the
Kylie.
edge.
Now
Yeah,
you're
yeah,
making best friends with Danny. It's probably wise to say
yeah,
Kylie, to be honest.
yeah. Kylie, definitely. Yes.
Ryan Reynolds or Ryan Gosling? That's a hard one because they're both good. I suppose it's
Ryan. Yeah, Ryan. I'm going for Ryan Reynolds.
Good, and me, the comedy. He's brilliant. And the
Yeah.
last one, I think I know what you're going to say, but Wales or the Maldives?
Oh, Wales.
Where, all the way. I mean, yeah, it's
All
a
the way.
tough one for me, but yeah, you are the representative. Well, listen, Amanda, it's been so lovely to have you on the podcast. Massive fans. I know
Oh,
everyone's
thank
going to
you.
love listening to this. Thank you so much for coming on, and we can't wait to see what you get up to next.
Oh, thank you for having me. I've enjoyed the chat. Thank you.
Thank you so much to Amanda Lovett for being my special guest on this bonus episode of Soap from the Box. Make sure, if you've not watched it, where have you been? The Traitors. To be honest, I've only watched season one of the UK one. I've got the US one, the Australian one, but it is absolutely amazing television, and Amanda was incredible in it. You must watch it if you've not seen it. I'll be back on Tuesday with another Soap from the Box and a star of EastEnders. See you then.